beg children.
That means you don't know why you prayed. And I told you that in my short life and experience, I've seen many people destroyed by praying. Because they don't know why they pray. So they make a pride, a show out of prayer. I've seen many people started spiritually, but because of prayer, they went into the flesh. Because after a while, they wanted people to know that they were prayer champions. So the prayer they were praying before to know God became the reason why they fell back into the flesh. And when they come to the place of prayer, some of them are so fleshly that they will not even pray until you ask them to lead prayer. So when they come to the prayer meeting, they pocket their hands and they are strolling. When you say, come and lead prayers, then they wear their prayer garment and they begin to pray in capital letters. And when they are done leading prayers and they go back, they stop the prayer. The prayer has made them to become carnal. The goal of travail is not travail in itself. It is the children that Zion begs. And that's why I told you, if a woman is in labor and she doesn't end up delivering, that labor might kill her. Because the labor in itself is a journey into begging. It's when the child comes out that the labor was relevant. Many people die in labor because they were unable to bring forth. And in prayer, if your prayer does not translate to betting, that prayer can destroy you. And many people have become useless because they were praying purposeless prayers. Because they were praying and they didn't know why they prayed. So in the course of praying, they became carnal men. In the course of praying, they became proud men. In the course of praying, they became useless men because they didn't know what prayer is about. So we come for conferences like this and we want to show you why we pray. So when you leave the conference, you are not encouraged to stop praying. You are rather encouraged to pray more. But this time, you are praying with a focus. This time, you are praying with something in view because you know that the prayer is a means to an end. And until you get that end, the prayer was not necessary. This is why we emphasize the betting of Zion. Before I talk about the dynamics of prayer, I just want to mention to you four few things that you will bet in prayer. And as I began in the morning, I told you, when a man accurately begins to pray, the first thing that man bets is the will of God. Because until you find the will of God, you will not be relevant in life. So prayer makes men relevant. But the prayer that makes men relevant is the prayer that finds the will of God. So the next time you go to the prayer room, your focus is not 10 hours. 10 hours is an opportunity for you to travel. But at the end of 10 hours, you want to find out, what is God saying about my life? What is God saying about my family? What is God saying about my city? What is God saying about my generation? If that becomes your focus, you will be shocked that you may be on the prayer altar for 3 months. Because the will of God is a secret. It's not on the street. The Bible said the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He will show them his covenant. And in Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 3, he said, call upon me and I will answer. But there is something more than answers to prayer. He said, I will show you great and mighty things that you know not of. So if a man begins to pursue the will of God, sometimes even the 10 hours prayer will not be enough. Because when they are done praying for 10 hours, you are still journeying. Maybe the time they say amen, that's when your angel begins to talk. So you will not join them in ending the prayer. While they stop, you will still be praying. But if you don't know the will of God, you will pride yourself with time and you will not journey. Until you find the will of God, your prayer will not matter much. The Bible spoke of Simeon who was in the temple. This man knew prayer so much that Simeon, having understood the will of God for his life, shut down everything. And then he was in the temple praying. It was when Jesus came that we now discover that some men were invoking Jesus out of heaven. They were the one creating the balance of time for the Son of Man to come. And when Jesus showed up, he said, now I can depart in peace. My eyes have seen the salvation of God. So when you see Simeon in the temple, you think he's useless. He's not useless. He has discovered that him is not a politician. He has discovered that him is not a public speaker. So why some other people are preaching from place to place is beautiful. But that's what they found on the altar of prayer. When Simeon saw his own template, he wasn't traveling from place to place. So you may come on earth and look at Simeon and say, Kai, this man have wasted his life. While others are making progress in ministry, he is where he is 10 years ago. The guy's journey in life is not to travel. His journey is to see the salvation of God. So for that, he will be on the altar until he sees the salvation of God. And the moment he sees it, he has fulfilled destiny. You may think he failed on earth, but in heaven, he passed his test. And there is another man that God will tell him, you can't be in the tent. because Issachar will be blessed in his travels. Zabulun will be blessed in the tent. So if a man discovers that his success is in journeying, God will be opening doors for him. You will look at him and say, Kai, this person is ambitious. You don't know what you are talking about. When he went to heaven, they showed him that his job is to leap from one city to another and to bring the counsel of God. The day that man stops traveling, he begins to fail. So while one man is in the temple, another man is traveling. The difference is not in the traveling or in the sitting. The difference is the isolation of the will of God for their life. There is another brother that may start praying with you in the temple, and after a while, he enters into politics. You look at him, you say, Kai, this guy has backslided. He didn't backslide. He discovered what was written concerning him. If that man becomes an apostle, he will fail. Because in the template of heaven, they didn't write an apostle on his name. You know, in our generation now, every young man who is on fire is an apostle. It's because we have not found the will of God. So the moment somebody catches fire, either he becomes an apostle or he becomes a prophet. Meanwhile, some of the people calling themselves apostles are politicians. What they should learn now is to find out how to mobilize support, is to find out what is the problem of society and think creatively to solve it. But they have not prayed into the will of God. So the moment they caught fire, they were dislocated from their destiny and they were made apostles when they should be politicians. There are some men that are running around that they are intercessors. Meanwhile, they are businessmen. Why they should be thinking on how to do apprenticeship and open shops in Lagos and Ibadan? They are on the altar praying every day and saying, we will see revival, we will see revival. The channel of revival you should mount is the economic channel. But while you're on the altar, you are wasting away. That's why I told you, many will be destroyed by praying, except as we find the will of God. And if you do not find the will of God, you can't make progress in life. Because you see, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I ordained you. I sanctified you to be a prophet. So I'm not moved if you told me you have prayed for 5 years. I will ask you, what does God want you to do? If you don't know it, it means you have not journeyed in your prayers. I'm not moved if you tell me you have prayed for 10 years. If you are still confused about life, you don't know what prayer is about. The guy who prayed for 1 month and knows the will of God for his life have made more from prayer than the man who has prayed for 10 years and still confused. Because the first child, Zion, will be born on the altar of prayer is the will of God. Number two, I say when you begin to pray, the second force that you mobilize in prayer is the power for destiny. Because it's one thing to see what God wants you to be. It's another thing to mobilize power to fulfill it. Because destiny is prosecuted by power. When there is no power, you will know what God wants you to be, but a demon can resist you. Paul said, a great and effectual door has been opened unto me. He said, but there are many adversaries. That you know what God wants you to do is not a guarantee that you will fulfill it. There has to be a power, and that power does not come from heaven. You know, many people think when they pray, heaven will open, power will come down. The power for your destiny is on your inside. He said, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to the power that is at work on your inside. If you don't mobilize that power on the altar, you will know you are supposed to be a governor. When you are on your deathbed at 70, you will discover that you didn't enter, because it's not enough to be told. There is a power that will take you there. You will know that you are supposed to be a prophet to the nations. You will know that you are supposed to be a voice to the nation. But if you will get there, you must mobilize power. And I began talking to us about power. You know, sometimes the reason we invoke the Greek and the Hebrew is not because we want to sound intelligent. It's because English language is limited. There are many things you will read in English that you will take at face value. It's when you do a word study, you understand what it's talking about. There are 5 powers that makes for destiny actualization. The first is dunamis. The second is kratos. The third is energema. The fourth is endunamo. The fifth is elutero. If you don't activate these powers from prayer, you can't succeed. If you are journeying on the corridor of the world, there is another layer of power on the world. On the layer of the world, there are 3 powers that you will activate. One is called exousia. Number 2 is called iskus. Number 3 is called metanoia. If you are dealing on the corridor of the world, the first thing the world does for you is that it gives you revelation into who you are in Christ. And on the strength of that revelation, you begin to function in authority. That's what we call exousia. Authority comes on the template of revelation. If you don't have revelation, you can't walk in authority. So when we are reading the Bible, the power we are mobilizing is the power of revelation. So when God met Job, he said, declare now if you have understanding. Because it's when you have understanding that you can command things that they will obey you. It's on the premise. The reason Job was mighty, it's not just because his name was Job. They say, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. He said, by light, I walked through darkness. By revelation, I walked through darkness. He said, in those days, when the rock poured out rivers of oil unto me, he said, my feet was planted in butter. The power that Job commanded was on the premise of revelation. And that kind of power comes when the word of God opens to you. The second kind of power you generate from the world is called iskus. Iskus is an authority that you have because you are submitted to authority. He said, when your obedience is fulfilled, then you shall avenge other disobedience. So when you begin to study the word of God brings government over your life. The reason you are not fornicating is not because you are afraid of your wife. The reason you are not committing adultery is not because you love your wife. It's not just because you are afraid that something will happen. It's because there is a law that is over your soul. You have seen in scripture that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So every time the devil tries to push you, the word of God becomes a law over you. When you begin to function under the government of the world, there is a power impacts upon your life. It's called iskus. That power is what makes you challenge demons. That power is what makes you challenge principality. Because when the princes come to you, they will find nothing. If they come to you and they find something, you can't rule over them. That kind of power that brings you under government is a power we call iskus. That's what Paul meant when he said, be strong in the Lord and in the kratos of his iskus, in the power of his might. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil. The reason many people are still ruled by principalities is because they have not won iskus. There is a power that comes upon you as you do business with the word of God until you become a slave of the word. And when you become a slave of the word, when you speak, your words carry authority. The third kind of power is metanoia. It's a power for transformation. So that you become. It's gotten from the word metamorphosis. So once upon a time, you were an angry man. And because of your anger, the devil can manipulate you. So every time the devil wants to get you, he gets somebody to provoke you. And in anger, you open the door. And the devil comes in and manipulates you. Once upon a time, your pride was your weakness. So every time the devil wants to rule you, he tampers with your pride. And in pride, you open the door. There is a power that will make you become unsuccessful to the devil. That power is called transformation power. It's the word that does it. But all of those ones are on the corridor of the word. The corridor of power that I'm talking about tonight is the one generated by prayer. The one generated by prayer is usually explosive. It's not just something that transforms you or brings you revelation. It's something that makes you become a weapon. And that's why when you begin to pray, the first power you generate for your destiny is called dunamis. That's the power to cause changes. When a man carries dunamis, the power boils on him like fire. He can come to a place and you say, your job is, your business is not working. In the name of Jesus, he is violent. Because that power is an explosive power. It's a power that causes changes. If a man does not pray into dunamis, he will still be limited in destiny. So when we go to pray, we are looking for dunamis. So that when we come out of prayer, we can look at our family and we say, things will work and things will begin to work. When we come into our shop, our goods will naturally begin to sell. Not because a prophet came to pour oil, but because every power that stagnates our possibilities, the moment we show up, that power goes away. That was the kind of power Jesus came with from the mountain of prayer. The Bible says as he entered the sanctuary, he said, demons began to flee. He didn't say, I am the Son of God, get out. He carried too much energy that the moment he showed up, on their own accord, they left. It's called dunamis. When Zion begins to travail, Zion begins to generate dunamis, the power to cause changes. It is that dunamis that makes your life work. So much so that even if the whole world say you will fail, they are wasting their time. Because without talking, there is something you are emitting. It's called dunamis. When you see men fail, it's because they've not generated enough dunamis. You may be singing. Singing is enough to make you succeed. All you need is to add dunamis to it. And when you sing that your one song, even if the people around your environment say you will fail, the first place they will hear that song will be in America. And then they are wondering, how are these things happening? Then you tell them, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. the power of the highest shall overshadow you. That thing that shall be born in you shall be called the son of the highest. Don't be afraid of failing. All you need to do is generate power. When you generate enough power, even if hell wants to pull you down, they are too late. Because having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So in prayer, we enter into power. The second kind of power that our prayer generates is called Kratos. Kratos is dynamic power. The reason this light is on is because Kratos is at work. Kratos is the product of dunamis. When dunamis goes to work, it's called Kratos. It is the dynamic expression of power. You know, before I came into this hall, I was generating dunamis. The moment I collected the microphone, dunamis turned to Kratos. This volatile power I'm talking with is no longer dunamis. This is Kratos. When dunamis becomes dynamic, it converts to Kratos. It is Kratos that actually does the work. But you will never see Kratos in your life until you generate dunamis. Some people go to work, they don't know what to do. It's because you lack Kratos. The Bible said the people were hungry for 3 days. And they came to Jesus and said, let's send these people home. And Jesus said, if you send them home, they will faint on the way. You give them something. And they wonder, how can you feed these people? Even a year's wages will not be enough. It's because they lack Kratos. Because the Bible said in John 5:5 that he himself knew what he should do. There's a dimension of wisdom that comes upon a man's life because he's generating the altar fire. And then when everybody is confused, he himself knew what he will do. Not because he's studying in Harvard. It's a power that is at work on your inside. What do you have? He said, there's a young lad here with 2 loaves and 5 fish. He said, bring it. And the moment he collected it, he said, I thank you, oh Father. Instantly, he gave it to them. In their own hands, the miracles began to happen. He didn't even want the miracle to happen in his hand so that they would say it's because it's Jesus. It's why they were distributing that the bread was multiplying. Because he has commissioned them by power. When a man prays, he's generating power. If you are not generating power, it's because you don't know how to engage the prayer altar. The prayer altar is not time-oriented. The prayer altar is power-oriented. And sometimes when you begin to pray, and the sequence and the protocol of power is about to be activated, it will demand concentration. Because when power wants to flow, it is from creatures of higher energy level to creatures of lower energy level. So when you see people who don't know how to generate power, they'll be praying in tongues and they are distracted. And they'll be distracted for 3 hours. That's why they pray, they don't have power. But men who know how to generate power from the place of prayer, sometimes they face the wall. Because the next person praying can become a distraction. Sometimes they lie on the floor. Because even the light in their room can become a distraction. Sometimes I go to pray and the light becomes so loud. It looks as if the light is shouting. I have to off the whole light because I want to censor into power. And after a while, you will literally begin to feel the current running through you. This is what prayer does. But for that kind of prayer to be created, you must know how to pray with concentration. You must know how to pray with focus. Because you are not just praying to meet time. You are praying to generate power. So when you see a prayerful man, powerless, he doesn't know what to do with prayer. Zion have travailed, but Zion have not brought forth her children. For Zion to bring forth her children, prayer must generate power. And the kind of prayer that generates power is a prayer that is prayed with focus, with concentration. The next time you go to the prayer room and you are distracted, just carry your bag and go home. You are not ready. You will waste your life. That's why I told you, many are praying and they are wasting because they don't know how this thing works. When you want to pray and bet, number one, you must pray the will of God. Number two, you must pray with focus because the prayer prayed with focus is the prayer that generates power. Don't find yourself in the prayer room and you sit down, you are yawning. You didn't come there to yawn. If you want to yawn, go home. Don't find yourself in the prayer room and when they are praying, you go out, you stroll, you shake somebody. If somebody wants to shake you in the prayer room, leave the person alone. It's a distraction. I didn't come here to shake hands. If you want to shake hands, wait until after the prayer. Even if it's 3 hours I have, I will invest into eternity. Because I know it is in focus and concentration that something hits me. Many people are distracted in the altar, on the altar. That's why they never generate power. And they say, but we have been praying, nothing has been happening. If you pray, something will happen. The reason you are praying and nothing is happening, you are distracted in the place of prayer. And you are distracted in the place of prayer because you don't know that prayer is primarily to generate power. There are different kinds of power we generate when we pray. power is one of the offsprings of Zion. And until power is generated, destiny will be challenged. Because what makes destiny work is power. And one of the ways to generate power is prayer. I would have pressed more on the power thing, but we don't have time. So let me go to the third thing. When a man begins to pray and pray productive prayer, first, he enters the will of God. Secondly, he begins to what? Generate power. You know, many people think this ministry we are doing is connection. So they are calling everybody. On New Year Day, they send message to everybody. They think it's by calling the person. As your conference is approaching now, some people will call you 4 times in a week. Ah, Venerable, how are you doing? Oh, God bless you. I love you so much. The person will be calling you, but when you think about the conference, you will forget him. Because you didn't invite people because of relationship. You invited people because the Holy Ghost compelled you to invite them. And some of the people you invited, you called them many times, you could not even access them. And you won't change your mind. Because when you go to lie down, the Holy Ghost will still bring their name to your heart. Meanwhile, there's another pastor that is doing politics. If the politics doesn't work, he now tries to kill the pastor that things are working for. Because he thinks that when that pastor leaves the scene, he will come. You may be in Lagos, you will manipulate and kill somebody. The next person God will use, he will bring him from Yola. Because you will not be choosing because there is vacuum. You will be choosing because ordination necessitated. So when you see people trying to do manipulation, politics, they are wasting their time. Some people have done pure water business. They left pure water business, they go to spare part. They leave spare part business, they go to hawking of clothes. They leave hawking of clothes, they go to selling of shoes. In the last 5 years, they have done 10 businesses. It's not the number of business you do that make you succeed. It's the power that backs that business. And those who understand the language of power, they can be selling water and they will be millionaires. They can be selling slippers and they will be millionaires. But you don't know what God gave to you in tongues. When you speak in tongues, you generate power. But many times, you speak in tongues and you are distracted. That's why your business is suffering. That's why your family is suffering. A prophet can prophesy over you. It will last for 1 year. It will last for 6 months. It will last for 1 month. You must have to generate that power to create the change you are looking for. When power is not produced from prayer, prayer was a wasted enterprise. I'm telling you this, so when you go back to pray, you will know that prayer is serious. Because your destiny will depend on the things you create from your prayer altar. That's why I said the priest must put food on it every morning. He said the fire on the altar will not be put out. The glory of prayer is not in prayer itself. The glory of prayer are in the things that prayer produces. And the first thing prayer produces is the will of God. The second thing prayer produces is the power to make destiny count. That's why you are wasting your time if you are trying to pull somebody down. Because that person is not rising by luck. It's a power that is making it happen. You can go and speak evil of somebody and then somebody hears it and say, are you serious? Let me hear what this person is saying that they are attacking him. Then they will now check you out. That person will become your fan. So you thought you wanted to destroy the person by speaking evil. What you did is that you did unsolicited advert. Because what's raising the person is power. You can want to shut a man's business down. And then you go and tell everybody around that that man is dubious. And then the next day everybody wants to come and see what the dubious man is doing. And all of them becomes his convert. What you have done is that you have advertised that business for free. What he should have gone to pay CNN to do, you became a CNN. Because you don't know, when power is at work, you can't fight it. That's why Jesus said, if the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They thought they were killing Jesus. They didn't know they were helping him into destiny. Power is what makes your destiny count. And the way to generate power is on the prayer altar. So the goal of prayer is not prayer itself. It's the things that prayer produces. Number three, when a man begins to pray, prayer will provoke a perfect heart in him. That's why many times, when you truly begin to pray, God begins to break your will. If you are praying and it's not affecting your will, you don't know what prayer is. If you are praying and it's not purifying your motive, you don't know what prayer is. Jesus was giving a parable and he said, if you come to the altar with a gift and you have an odd against your brother, He said, leave your gift on the altar. Go back and apologize to him. He didn't even say if you have an odd against your brother. He said, if your brother has an offense against you, you are not the one who offended him. But prayer will insist that only through a perfect heart will your incense ascend to heaven as odors. Because when your prayer comes to heaven, God perceives it as an aroma. If a man's heart is not perfect before the Lord, his prayer cannot be an incense. He said, you pray and you receive not because you pray amiss. You pray to lavish it on your own selfish motive. Before a man makes progress by prayer, prayer we have to break him. There are many people praying and they don't want to break. That's why even though they are praying, they are wasting. Because until you enter the place of a perfect heart, your prayer will have no result. Jesus was praying in Gethsemane in Matthew 26 from verse 39 to 42. And he will come there and pray for 1 hour. And God kept him at one level. You have to submit your will to my will. It's not about the length of the prayer. It's about perfection of your heart. It's about yieldedness to my government. And it's about alignment. He went there for 3 times and prayed for 3 hours. 3 hours didn't change the prayer point. This cup cannot pass you by. You must go to the cross. The reason many people don't make progress by prayer is because they insist on their own will. A man who insists on his will is corrupt on the prayer altar and he cannot make progress. You come to the place of prayer with a lot of malice in your heart. You come to the place of prayer with a lot of bitterness. Before the prayer begins to count, that malice will end. You must make peace before you go forward. That bitterness will end. I'm telling you why there is so much noise about prayer, but we are not seeing result. Because the men who are praying are not praying with a perfect heart. I'm telling you why we are teaching so much about prayer. Things are not changing. Because even in the same fellowship where people are praying, there is witchcraft going on. So much witchcraft. So witches hold hands and they are praying. The prayer of a sinner is an abomination before God. Before that prayer can begin to affect the territory, no matter the lingo we used to pray, we must first fall heart in prayer. What prayer we insist is that you choose the will of God and dump your own will. If you don't get there, you are wasting your time. The third thing, Zion bets in prayer, is a perfect heart. You know, there is so much, a prayer movement is rising in the East. We thank God. I came here 3 years ago, I was teaching a message, Winds of Revival. And I told them that a generation, a volatile generation will rise in the East, that we pray like the Brit. But teaching priests will come back again and tell you how they pray. Because prayer is not just how loud the tongue is. Prayer is not just how long the prayer is made. A man who prays must walk in love. A man who prays must walk in purity of purpose before he can become strong in the realm where it matters. Because when you come there, they are not moved how long you have prayed. They begin to check your heart. He said, because man checks the outward, but God looks at the heart. When you come to Zion, on earth you may say, I prayed for 7 hours. When you come to Zion, there's no time there. And the people you will meet, the Bible said, the 4 living creatures, day and night, forever and ever, they were singing, holy, holy, holy. Do you know what forever and ever means? That means they have gone past the realm of time. So they are no longer checking 1 hour, 10 hours, 20 hours. It's forever and ever. So what they are checking, the parameter they are looking at there, is not time. They will check your heart. What do you come here with? And the testimony of your heart in the spirit is louder than your voice. That's why I say God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ask or think. Because even your thought is speaking in that realm. Your motive is speaking in that realm. Your intention is speaking in that realm. Many women are praying for their children to prosper so that their neighbor will know. They are praying for their children to prosper so that when their children become wealthy, they will show their neighbor's pepper. No wonder you are the witch that has stopped your children from prospering, because your prayer is an evil that is traveling with them. God has no time to bless your children to prove a point to your neighbor. God is blessing your children because there's a kingdom in view. And if you don't know that kingdom, you are wasting your time. Many years, Hannah went to Shiloh and prayed for God to give her a child so that Phinehas too will know that she too has a child. God didn't answer her. The day she came and said, this child is not for me. If you give me this child, I'll give her back. God was in a hurry. So what is making your prayer impotent in the corridors of heaven is the heart posture that you carry. There are many people, ladies, praying to get married because they have told them that, can you imagine? They go to God and cry, Lord, imagine these people. See, it's what? Those are petty things. You are not going to get married so that your neighbors will see. God wants your womb as a channel to raise the next prophet. God wants your womb as a channel to raise the next voice. There are higher matters in the kingdom. You are coming to court sessions where immortals are talking. You are talking about mundane and carnal things. Do you know the protocol that governs that realm? An evil heart cannot be permitted there, because the beings that are there, they are celestial beings. When Isaiah came there, he said the first thing they did was that they touched his tongue with a coal of fire. You can't come to where seraphims are meeting. They are called the burning ones. The strength of a seraphim is the holiness that emerged from his spirit. It's the purity that emerged. How can you come to do legislation among seraphims and you are coming with earthly malice, earthly backbiting, and earthly sentiment? You don't know where your prayer is taking you to. You are coming to corridors where beings that existed before time was created are legislating. You can't come there with the garbage of time. You will have to be stripped of all of those things. I tell you why many prayers don't work. Because we pray with an evil heart. You want to make progress by prayer, your heart must be purged. Forget the iniquity of the East. There are many men competing with themselves. Don't be part of that. You can't make progress by prayer competing. Even ministries. Some people see their brother started 2 years ago. Now he's a global figure. And the reason they are praying night and day is so that they too will become like that guy. Have you checked the blueprint of heaven to see why God told you to start what you are doing? Then you are provoked by jealousy. You are provoked by envy. And then you are spending the energy of jealousy. You think God will hallow it. The reason you see some people praying, fasting for 90 days, it has nothing to do with the kingdom. The energy they are spending from is an energy born out of jealousy. And then when you see people praying, you may make the mistake to think that, oh my God, imagine this kind of prayer energy. If God opens your eyes, what is rising from that person is bitterness. What is rising from that person is malice. What is rising from that person is jealousy. That's why he will pray for 10 years and he will not go anywhere. He can come and pride himself and say, we have been praying for 10 years. The mortals are not moved for how long you have prayed. When the mortals check you, they are finding out, to what degree have you known the will of God? What is the power your prayers have generated? And what are the quality of legislations your prayer has carried out in the territory? When the mortals come to check you out, they want to find out, what is the purity level of your heart on account of this prayer you have been praying? When Moses prayed, the Bible said he was the meekest of all men that lived. Even when Aaron and Miriam challenged Moses, Moses could not hurt them. If Moses speak, the earth will swallow you up. But prayer had broken him. It was not about a show of power anymore. It's about becoming a man of God. And even when Moses died, many years later, when they spoke about Moses, they said, Moses, the servant of God. When God came to judge Aaron and Miriam, it was Moses that was begging for them. Lord, please, in our generation, when you offend somebody and evil happens to you, the person will now start preaching it. I told you now, it will be destroyed. Because we are full of flesh and bitterness. It's a sign that we don't pray. We may preach it, we may showcase it, but if we begin to pray, it will show in the nature of our heart. Our heart will become pure. Our heart will become meek. And our heart will become like the heart of a child. When a man is praying, come close to him, he will sense the aroma of God. It's not just about the power. It's about the witness of the life of God that man had into. You want to travel? Your focus will be mundane. You must find the will of God. You must generate power for your destiny. And you must allow prayer exercise government over your soul so that God can use you. Finally, when a man begins to pray, he is saturated with God. He said in Luke chapter 9, verse 28, he said, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. He said his raiment began to blister. One thing prayer wants to make out of you is to make you an embodiment of the dimensions of God. That's why when he came down from the mountain of prayer, he said the land of Zabulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan. mentality of the Gentile. The people that sat in darkness, they have seen a great light. The one who went up was a carpenter, but the man that descended from the mountain was the light of the world. When you begin to pray, one thing God wants to do is to saturate you with the divine nature. Your eyes will become the eyes of God. Your hands will become the hand of God. Your body will become the flesh of the Christos. When Hadbonke entered a place in South Africa to buy something, and the person said, and looked at him and began to cry. And when Hadbonke asked Jesus, why is he crying? Jesus said, he saw me in your eyes. That's a man of prayer. When Moses came down from the mountain, the Bible said his face was shining like the sun. When you go to pray, you go to exchange flesh for divinity. A man who prays is saturated with God. When we pride ourselves about prayer, we don't know what prayer is. Because when we begin to pray, the tokens of prayer themselves are enough testimony for our generation. One of it will be accurate and precise understanding of the will of God. Another will be power to prosecute destiny, so much so that you'll be living destiny from rest. There'll be no anxiety. When time comes to marry, you just marry. When you are into ministry, the ministry will just work. You will not die trying to sponsor it. You will walk from rest, because the power to prosecute that destiny, you will generate it from the altar. When you pray, you will discover that your heart will be renewed. When men offend you, instead of showing them you are more powerful, you will have sympathy for them. Not because you are thinking a scripture. You are not trying to be mechanical. Naturally, the compassion of God will flow out of you, and you will have sympathy for them because you will know that they don't know. That's why, even while Jesus was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The people that are killing him, he's still praying for them, because prayer had made him to sustain the nature of God. And finally, the man who prays will become saturated with God. You don't need to tell people you are a man of prayer. When you pray, the things that come out of you, they will attest that you are a man of prayer. And for those things to come out of you, you must consciously deploy yourself. To know the will of God when you pray, you must constantly ask him to focus on what he says. To generate power in prayer, you must be focused and concentrated when you pray. To have a perfect heart in prayer, you must submit to the dictates that comes to you on the altar. Because altar will break you most of the time. And for you to be saturated in God, you must be yielded when you pray. You will not pray what you desire. You will pray what he desires. These are offsprings that Zion brings forth when they pray. That's why when Zion speaks, the law of God proceeds from Zion. He said, let us go to Zion, to the hill of the Lord. He said, for out of Zion proceeds the law. Until these things begin to happen to Zion, the Zion in our nature will not have the power to change our nature. Because even though we prophesy, even though we preach, we will be preaching with malice, envy, jealousy, and bitterness. When the princes come, they will find something in us. And if they keep finding something in us, our prayer will become loud, our prayer will become a movement, but our prayer cannot affect our territory. When Zion travails, it brings forth. I want you to pray for a moment and ask the Lord to show you the true essence of prayer, so that you will not waste your life praying. You will pray the prayers that produce results. Ask the Lord to help you. In the next 2 minutes, we'll be out of here. I wanted to talk about the dynamics of prayer this night, but we are super saturated. Let me stop here. You know, I was talking fast so that I will release the information. I know some of you will not get half of what I said. Don't worry, your spirit caught it. Because when we speak, we don't just speak to people's heads. We talk to their spirits. Some of you will live here, and these things I've shared will become a government over you. That's why I spoke fast, because I didn't have time. As you live here, your eyes will open to know the will of God for your life. You will no longer walk in confusion, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. There will be precision. Some of you will live here, you will know what you should do. You will live here, you will start a business. You will live here, you will become an intercessor. You will live here, you begin to
to develop capacity for leadership, because you will know you are the next leader over this territory,
because the will of God will become clear. Some of you will live here, you will be delivered from bitterness. You will be delivered from jealousy. You will be delivered from envy and backbiting, pride of life, because the government that comes through prayer will begin to superimpose over you. I'm not just talking to children. There are many people that are 80 years old. They are still bitter against somebody that offended them when they were 30. So they have carried bitterness for 50 years. And they don't know why their life is not going anywhere. It was Kenneth Hagin that said, when you pray and you don't have answer, the first place to check is unforgiveness. Some people pride themselves so much in the fact that they are keeping somebody for 5 years, for 10 years, for 15 years. They say, no, it's after 20 years I'll be forgiven. We don't know, we have not known the realm. When you come to the realm, every baggage will be taken away. You will cast away every sin and every weight that beset you. That's how you make progress, by prayer. Prayer is not just speaking in tongues. Forget it. When you become 50 years old, you will discover it's not about the volume. It's about the supply of the Spirit. And what makes for the supply of the Spirit is the degree to which you are aligned to the will of God. What makes for the supply of the Spirit is the degree to which your heart is perfected as you accept the government that comes on the altar of prayer. What makes for the supply of the Spirit is the degree to which you can generate power, because all your focus is there. You see, Elijah is a man subject to like passion. He prayed earnestly that it should not rain, and it rained not on the face of the earth. The key word there is that he prayed earnestly. There are most of us that pray without focus and distraction. Ask the Lord to help you. 1 minute. Ask the Lord to help you. Oh, I wish I was able to speak about the dynamics of prayer. I wanted to talk to you about stamina. Stamina on the altar. Stamina on the altar is not to exert your will. That is flesh. That's why I told you, many people pray and they become carnal. Because you can exert your will and say, I must beat 4 hours. I must beat 5 hours. When you are a baby, that's good for you. But when you start growing, you'll discover stamina is the ability to yield to the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Ghost mantles you. You pray from the energy of the Holy Spirit. They say, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. What gives us stamina on the altar is the degree to which we are helped, not the extent to which we exert our will. If you are exerting your will in prayer, if you do it for long, you become a carnal man. When we go to prayer, we are seeking help. We want to the Holy Ghost to substitute our energy for His energy. When a man masters how to yield to the Holy Spirit, he can pray for 3 days. Not because he's using his will. He's spending from the energy of God. So the skill that man has developed in prayer is submission. So when you heard that Babalawa prayed for 3 days, he wasn't using his will. He was operating from the energy of God. So a man like that has mastered how to submit. So his stamina is in yieldedness, not in exertion of will. I would have spoken to you about intensity. That there are some things you can't change until the Holy Ghost come upon you like a mighty warrior. And when that intensity comes, that's when we begin to misbehave. We don't come to prayer and we are running because we are young people. Even if you are 70 years old, if the Holy Ghost mantles you with the spirit of a warrior, you can run for 3 hours. You can run for 10 hours. If you don't know this, you will not wait for the Holy Ghost to mantle you. You will come to the prayer altar and you'll start doing funny things. And those funny things you are doing will distract you. When you see some people's posture in prayer, you'll just see all your carnality written all over them. And then you begin to pray for them because they have no understanding. Don't do things in the prayer altar. Don't somersault. Don't carry chairs up. Wait for the Holy Ghost to mantle you. When the Holy Ghost mantles you, every action you are carrying that time is a weapon. When you laugh, that your laughter will be a weapon. That's why I say, him that seated in the heaven shall laugh. So when the Holy Ghost mantles you on the prayer altar, you can be laughing. That your laughter is a weapon. You have entered the office of a son because you are being led by the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost mantles you, when you are running, it's not running. That running may be promotion. And you are leaping from one state to another. And then you come out of that prayer and in 3 months you go around Nigeria. Because when you were running, you were not running. It was a spiritual operation.
He was taking him from one level of glory to another level of glory, because the path of the just is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter. So you have been stagnated for 5 years. While you are praying, the Holy Ghost mantles you, and every step you take is 1 year. And then you move 10 times, and you have moved for 10 years. And then what you were looking for 5 years, in 1 day it happened, because in prayer you have moved forward. But if you don't know that that is the spirit of a warrior, you will go to the place of prayer. Instead of waiting for the Holy Ghost to mantle you, you will either pray loud or you'll be somersaulting in the prayer altar, and you'll be distracting yourself. It means you are a child. It's called intensity, that the energy of God will overwhelm you, and then you will lose your own consciousness. You are free to misbehave at that time. If it's a chair you carry, that chair may be you uprooting a government. Everything you do is a weapon. You can carry a chair up, and what you have done is that you have removed the governor from his seat. And if you governor, you just removed it from his seat. You may not even know what you are doing, but the warrior have come to town. And when the warrior comes, he fights. He said, the Lord teaches my hand to fight and my fingers to war. He said, by my God, I ran through a troop. I leaped over a wall. That kind of man cannot be defeated. He said, gather together, you will scatter. Take counsel together, it shall come to naught. Speak a word, it shall not stand. For our God is in our midst. That's a warrior. When the warrior comes, one man can challenge a nation. And then you wonder, how is this man so strong? The shout of the king is in their midst. Those are dynamics of prayer. But men journey there because they have mastered yieldedness. Prayer is a spiritual weapon. And until we maximize the protocol of prayer, we can't make progress. You are not disadvantaged. You have just not prayed enough, and you have not prayed correctly. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you. The Lord be gracious unto thee. Your going out and your coming in is blessed. The spirit of the warrior from today will mantle you as you go to pray. The spirit of wisdom and revelation will mantle you as you go to pray. From today, your life will change. Because by prayer, you will make your wall. By prayer, you will journey through life. By prayer, the possibilities of your ordinations will be activated. Not one of you will be a babe. Not one of you will struggle or will be downtrodden. The least one among you will become as strong as David. And the small one shall be a great nation. Because the Lord himself will teach your hands to fight. And he will teach your fingers to war. God bless you.
You were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website orocomichael.com to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.